reason for the season, baby. You don't even have to be told what it is to know what it is.
Yeah, the communist anthems have a certain, I guess you could say, masculine zeal to them.
Yeah, they're shouting like they're trying to build a steel foundry with the power of their singing. So, which I think that is in line with the dialectic, wouldn't you?
And the posters.
Yeah, and the posters. Yeah, like I said, just a cheerful holiday tune for.
I have to admit, though, I've always had sort of a soft spot for communist anthems.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and that was indeed the anthem of North Korea. It actually used to be the anthem for both North and South Korea, and the way they would play the same anthem was actually really amusing, because the arrangement for South Korea was completely different. But then sometime in the 40s, they actually changed it to a different song, so...
Yeah, I wonder why.
I can't imagine. 253-584-1480. Merry Christmas, one and all.
Happy Wookiee Life Day.
Yeah, happy Wookiee Life Day.
Joyous Festivus.
It was great. I called home, and my dad was like, Merry Christmas, Sam. Merry Christmas, Sam. And I'm like, yeah, Merry Christmas, Dad. It's like, oh, right, I forgot. Never mind.
I like when people use a friendly greeting as a bludgeoning tool.
Oh, yeah, there are certain people around here who say Merry Christmas like they expect me to explode into a cloud of ashes and bones when they say it to me. I love it.
There's a sort of feel of waving a red cape at you.
Yeah, exactly. So, as you might have noticed from our festive opening, we were at the office last week toasting to Christopher Hitchens when we discovered... death of another person near and dear to my heart. I can't even say it seriously, but we discovered that Kim Jong-il, the great leader, had passed on.
The thing that makes me really sad about this is that Christopher Hitchens couldn't have lived another week, because there would have been...
One more week, and yeah. Oh.
There would have been a beautiful, scathing obituary that would have been hilarious.
I'm actually surprised he didn't have something on the spike for when that dude finally kicked it.
Do you think maybe he died... it's totally believable. Kim Jong-il could have died like a month ago.
And they just waited for Hitchens to die so that they could...
They could announce it?
That is a distinct possibility.
And it was just Weekend in Bernie's before then?
Yeah. So... If you followed that weird online project I did for a few weeks as a technology test, I actually spoke about my interest in North Korean propaganda.
You're a bit of a connoisseur of fine North Korean...
yeah. I hate that I'm so into it, because it's so unaware of itself. It's so unassuming, and it's ridiculous... responses and ridiculous propaganda and ridiculous stories that it tells, and you can tell it's from a place where there is no opposition to these crazy ideas. The only problem, the reason why I feel kind of bad about it, is that the stuff that fuels this propaganda is death and deprivation and starvation and restriction in liberty, and it's all this terrible stuff that keeps North Korea going on. And this is not, that's not hyperbole. That's just a laundry list of the kind of stuff that goes on there.
I know that they are so afraid of foreign DVDs and music and things coming across the border that if they even suspect that there's one in a neighborhood, they will shut all the electrical power off.
Yeah.
In an entire neighborhood, and go house to house and find the tapes stuck in the machine, and that family will disappear. I mean,
yeah.
People have loudspeakers in their house, and if it wasn't built on, as George Orwell once said, a boot crushing a human face forever,
yeah,
some of this stuff would be hilarious.
It would be really funny, and I'll be honest with you, like going back to our Mr. Deity show. This is black humor. I'm laughing at it because it really scares me. This stuff, even today, even in our quote-unquote enlightened age, can still happen. There's still a Stalinist country out there. And just the kind of thing... Now, here's why we're bringing it up on Ask an Atheist, other than, you know, the fact that I know a little bit too much about the way North Korea works for someone who isn't into espionage. A lot of people who are theists, and especially a lot of people who are Christians, like to tell us that atheism is sort of the gateway drug to communism, and that if you're an atheist, you must be a communist, and that's why we need to fight atheism, because it's communism in a different guise. And I'll tell you right now, that is a load of crap. And North Korea is a perfect example of why that is. For one thing, North Korea isn't atheist by any stretch of the imagination. For example, they have a specific ideology in in North Korea. It's, I think it's Juche Thought. I'm not really good at pronouncing it. But including sort of these vaguely ex-Maoist, Stalinist, communist ideas that they have, they also have an official story of the birth of Kim Jong-il, which he was born on, I believe, on Mount Paektu. Birds, swallows descended from the heavens to mark the occasion of his birth. A new star appeared in the sky. Tell me if you've heard this before. Also, an iceberg cracked somewhere. And, you know, his birth was apparently foretold by the heavens. And not the known story, which is he was born in a military camp in Vladivostok, Russia. But don't say that in North Korea.
It's weird because it's like facts don't exist in North Korea. If there ever was a place on Earth that really mirrored the Oceania Ingsoc government from Orwell's 1984, it's this one.
Right, right.
Where there really are no facts. And it kind of comes down to that same thing, is that in a place where nobody is allowed to laugh at you or to object to what you say, things can get really ridiculous. And like Sam says, a lot of these ideas are dogmatic and really supernatural and faith-based.
Now, and so people like to say that, you know, communist is Russian, or communist, well, there was Russian communism, sorry. Communism is atheist. Hitler was an atheist. People like to say all these mass murderers that have happened are atheists. And you know what? We gotta say, in the case of communism, that is true. Communism, one of its tenets was lack of belief in religion because of what Marx had to say about it. On the other hand, that's a very different situation from what you have with atheists here today, and especially atheists like me and Mike. The situation is this. I've said it a million times on the show. Religion is the armor that dogma wears. And it's really not necessarily religion that is my biggest problem. I mean, religion is a big problem. It tells you lies. It gives you bad ideas. It hurts your morality. But the thing that does it, sort of the weapon that does it, is dogmatic thinking inside of religion. Is the idea that you have to ignore the facts. You have to ignore what exists. You have to ignore the research. You have to ignore human progress. And just believe what the dogma is. And
I think that really comes down that this is dogmatic thinking at its most. Is I think Sam Harris said it really well when he said that the problem with these regimes wasn't that they were too demanding of evidence, that they were asking too hard questions. I think it's exactly the opposite, which is that it isn't that North Korea or the Soviet Russia or any of these countries that sort of lived under the boot heel were too little like religion. It's that they were, in many ways, too much like them.
A cautionary tale used by people who are fighting the anti-creationism fight is the story of Russian biosciences. Is that the idea is that the sort of the neo-Darwinian or Darwinian, whatever you want to call it these days, idea that fuels all of biosciences today was deemed anti-communist, and therefore not, you know, we wouldn't teach these kind of sciences in Russia. We wouldn't teach these kind of sciences in the Soviet states. And they found some charlatan who had an idea about who, you know, it wasn't Lamarck, but he believed in Lamarckian evolution, which was this very much more communist oriented kind of everybody gets together and agrees that the giraffe is going to have a longer neck. It was just, it's sort of almost a parliament of weird traits.
It's weird. I believe, if I'm getting this right, Sam, and I'm going off the cuff here.
Okay.
Wasn't Lamarckian evolution the one that I stretch my neck really high to get to those leaves, and that's the reason my neck's a little stretched, so my babies have kind of a stretch neck?
Exactly.
And this is why Arnold Schwarzenegger's kids are clearly ripped.
Exactly.
And roided out.
Completely
debunked, by the
Soviet
way.
Soviet science went with that, and as a result, Soviet biosciences were set back by half a century because they ignored what the facts were. They ignored what they saw in opposition to the Soviet communist dialectic.
That when facts contradict your ideology, you go with the ideology rather than the facts.
And at that point, I actually say that communist Russia and all of these supposedly atheist communist states were just as religious as the Westboro Baptist Church. They just had a slightly different name for their dogma. And it really is the dogma that brings it down. This is why I don't necessarily have a problem with the Unitarian Universalists. So I don't have a problem with, you know, with adogmatic institutions, the same way that I have with, I don't know, the Catholics, for instance.
Yeah, that, it's kind of amazing because in the end, it's the question of how somebody thinks. And if somebody believes that there are certain ideas that cannot be questioned, that that have to be accepted because they are, that's just the way it is, and if they get angry the moment you start questioning it, you can't have a conversation with somebody like that. And right. The minute they latch on to a dangerous idea, there's going to be bad consequences to something like that. And to try to equate that mentality with, say, Richard Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens is ludicrous, because if anybody has anything in common with these people, it's dogmatic religious people.
It is. It is. And what it comes down to is, if you look at the facts, if you look at what they believe, if you look at how they act, if you look at their dogma versus how they say, these communist nations are way more religious than we are. And these communist religions have more to do, the country that is closest to the way North Korea works is the Vatican. It's not America. It's not some Northern European nation with the 2% religious. It's the Vatican. It's a state that exists to promulgate the ideas of one dude who is infallible.
And kind of divine, too.
And not kind of divine. Kim Il-sung is still alive, according to North Korean theology. He's the eternal president.
Yeah, that he's the president of the country even after death, like a pharaoh.
Yeah.
Didn't Christopher Hitchens once refer to that as a necrocracy?
Necrocracy, yeah. And how is this not religious? How does this have anything to do with...
If you really want to understand how scary the dogmatic thinking is, I think we should talk about some of the things that they believe that we do find funny if it wasn't, enforced with a bayonet to your back.
Oh, jeez.
Would in a rationalist secular country, would you have a leader who claims that he never urinates or defecates?
He's a religious leader that says every time he plays golf, he gets at least four holes in one, but he stopped because it was too impressive. Every time he claps his hands, there's a thunderstorm. One time he rubbed his hands together and created a snowstorm in a tropical part, in the middle of summer.
That sounds just like Richard Dawkins.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that at one point he actually claimed to have invented the hamburger.
Yes, I think it's two breads with meat is what he calls it.
And you can only do that in a society that you have completely closed off, where they do not have access to facts. Yeah. And even if they do, they're not allowed to laugh at you.
It's a country where kidnapping a Japanese monster movie director to direct a version of Godzilla that fell in line with North Korean ideology was considered a moral act.
Yeah, it just gets more and more ludicrous the longer you go. The guy does not even have an official birth date.
Yeah, there's no official birthday. There's two villages that are allowed to exist inside the DMZ. On the South Korean side, it's this traditional village that's been there for 11 billion years. On the North Korean side, it's this completely empty city that is basically a shell of a city that has no that has electricity and running water and all this stuff, when most of internal North Korea has none of these things.
It's painted. It has lights that go on in an automated fashion to let you know, oh, it's daytime.
Yeah.
It's like equivalent of one of those little villages you build for a model railroad.
Yeah.
That it's painted and pretty on the outside, but it's just empty.
It also, I believe, has the world's third tallest flagpole now. For a while, it was the world's tallest flagpole, and it had like a 600-pound flag of North Korea. This is not an atheist country. This is not a country without without any religion whatsoever. So, really, do look at the facts when you start saying...
This is not the end result of too much reason and demands for evidence and you poo-pooing on other people's funny beliefs. This is people pushing funny beliefs on people with threat of force.
Right. Exactly. So, take a look at that. Although this really does take away from the best part of this, which is all the weird stuff that there is about Kim Jong-il. Like, in the 90s, he was the biggest consumer of Hennessy Cognac.
He had the largest DVD video and movie collection in the world.
Staff of 10 people, apparently, to pearl polish his rice, so it was exactly the right size when he ate it. And there's a book about him. And
I believe that the only feathers that he would allow in his pillows were apparently the softest on Earth, which I guess is just under the chin of a finch.
Really?
Yeah, and you know how small the feathers are?
Something every day.
Imagine how many finches have to be taken just to get those tiny little things to fill in. It is terrifying. This is what happens when somebody has total power. People are not allowed to laugh at you. This is why the conflict of ideas is so important in a free exercise of speech, is that nobody in the United States, though they certainly try sometimes, ever get to say things quite this ridiculous, because there would be gales of laughter.
Well, that doesn't stop Donald Trump.
No, he certainly tries.
Yeah.
But he gets to deal with the laughter afterwards.
I suppose.
If people laughed at, if we had Kim Jong-il living in a free society, he would be our Donald Trump. He'd be that crazy rich guy who is always talking about how his father is still immortal and how he never defecates.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And it's worth talking about just because the whole North Korea is communist, China is communist gets thrown at us so often. People are clearly not looking at the facts of the case. And North Korea is by all, you know, it's called a necrocracy as a joke, but clearly North Korea is not a communist atheist state. North Korea is a theocracy. It has a state religion, just like China has a state religion, just like Russia basically had a state religion. All of this dialectic, all of this dogma that all of the facts must support and not the other way around is exactly the kind of thinking that we in the atheist visibility movement are trying to fight. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Sam and Mike with you on this holiest of holy days. And we'll talk to you in a minute.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Sigmund Freud said, "The voice of the intellect is a soft one, but it does not rest until it has gained a hearing." Whether you're at a point in life where you are questioning your beliefs, or if you've always been an atheist or agnostic, the Auburn Freethought Society is a place where your own voice of intellect will be heard. You'll interact with like-minded people, engage in intellectual conversation, and share your experiences with others in the Auburn, Washington area. At Auburn Freethought Society, we encourage critical thought and reason. For details, find us on Facebook and on Meetup.com. Auburn Freethought Society. Have real discussion and share real ideas freely.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, welcome to Life Day. Hey, it's Sunday. So we do have an announcement, and this is the last time we'll be talking about it, because it happens this Thursday. As we close out 2011, join the cast and crew of Ask an Atheist for a live night of comedy, or a night of live comedy. To help keep the radio show on the air, we're holding our second semi-annual comedy event. It will be Jeremy Whitman, friend of the show, co-creator of the show, nationally touring comedian, Kermit Apio, who won the 2009 Great American Comedy Festival, and Kathy Sorbo, who's done a lot of stuff for HBO and Showtime, and also is the sideline announcer for the Rat City Roller Girls, which is really awesome. All these guys, everybody is going to be at the Jewel Box Theater at 2322 2nd Avenue in Seattle. Again, Thursday, December 29th at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20 at the door, or you can get them at brownpapertickets.com or go to our website, askanatheist.tv, and you can order your tickets there. Now, we are starting to get full up on the tickets, aren't we?
So we're more than halfway full, so really time is limited. Please, if you want to come check it out, buy your tickets now.
Please come to the show.
Yeah, we don't want to have to normally beg, but I'll beg to, please.
Yeah, please. Now, we do have a phone call. So we've got Charles from Tuscola, who we've talked to a few times, and he wants to talk about the Kalam cosmological argument. Could you actually start out by reminding us...
I think you just killed Charles.
I think I just killed... Charles, could you call... If you could call right back. Man, I haven't taken a phone call in a while.
Yeah, we're a little bit rusty, folks, and...
It's Christmas.
That's Christmas, so there's some sort of overhanging curse on it, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
But yeah, please check out our and Charles if you're in the area. It'd be a bit of a drive from Florida, but
Illinois, Tuscola, Illinois.
Oh, that sounds like a Florida town.
You'd be surprised. Illinois is really it's like Chicago and everywhere else, and the everywhere else is sort of like the rest of that part of the world. So.
It's kind of like Washington in that regard, then.
Yeah, I think you might be back. So, but I mean, like I said, I'm from Illinois. I spent a lot of time in the Chicago area, which is where I'm from. But I also went to the southern part of Illinois, and they don't care for Chicago very much. And that's
refreshingly like Washington State. Then
it's refreshing. It is. You know, it was instantly recognizable to me. It's like, oh god, you go over the Cascades, and it's completely different. Oh yeah, just like Chicago. You go south of. Champagne, and it's a different country practically.
Yeah, it's nice though that we have this beautiful, well-defined geographic barrier to make you know when you're crossing that line into what is essentially West Idaho.
Yeah.
I know that for a while now, there's been a number of people who've been fighting to secede, and I'm like, well, Idaho can have.
Actually,
them.
Illinois is talking about kicking Chicago out. All right, Charles, are you with us? Hello, Charles.
Yes.
Hey.
Got me?
Yes, we do. All right. So tell us about the cosmological argument.
It's the one most favored by William Lane Craig and company.
Okay.
There seems to be a large number of assumptions that are unwarranted in it.
Well, tell us what it is real quick.
That the universe, anything that begins to exist, must have a creator. And they... insist that the Big Bang is the beginning of the universe.
Okay.
And I
know we've talked about the Kalam cosmological argument with Bob, that's really what he does. I don't really hear it very often. I mean, okay, yeah, the creation must have a creator. We hear that a bit.
Yeah, when you immediately start calling it a creation... Right off the bat, it's sort of like, oh, something that's broken must have been broken. You know, it's like, you're skewing your discussion by immediately calling it a creation rather than just calling it a thing.
Yeah.
And saying, how did that thing come to be?
I mean,
that's the very first talking point that I have a problem with. They naturally assume that it's a creation act.
Exactly.
And there's some very convoluted logic, or very poor logic, or bad logic, or non-logic, wind up with the God of their particular faith, be it Islam, various Christian denominations, or what have you.
Right.
I went and looked up some Stephen Hawking's works and checked out some of his books, and he, way back when... noted that it's inane to try to talk about that kind of thing when you hit the point called the singularity, which was the beginning of the Big Bang.
Right.
Because the concepts stop being meaningful then.
That is part of it, is the point singularity, which, as far as theory is telling us, the universe sprung from, it not only created all matter and all energy in the universe, but it also created the space in which the universe exists. So talking about a point outside of this point singularity actually sort of ignores a lot about what the Big Bang Theory is about. It's not this event not only created the universe, it also created time and space. So to have something outside of that, you need to at least have some math to explain to us how something could be outside of this point singularity. This is a physics argument. It needs to be solved with physics, not preaching. There's also another point here, which everybody makes kind of sarcastically, but it's an important one. And that's the recursive problem here, is that, all right, there's a creation, there must have been a creator. So everything that exists must have been built by something. Well, then, clearly, something must have built the thing which built the universe.
Yeah, you...
Exactly. Yeah. And where did that thing come from, and who built that? they do special pleading to try to get around that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if you don't need to create a middleman for that, why do you need the God in the first place? And it seems like it's an explanation that just begs other questions.
Yeah, one of the ways I heard it described was the singularity is equivalent to you're at the North Pole and you're trying to go north from the North Pole.
That's pretty good.
Work.
I like that one. But yeah, I mean, there's this one video I did when I was experimenting with YouTube, which was just this cut of this one Islamic kid. He was a kid, really, talking about it. And he basically said, he holds up a red ball and he goes, "Who made this ball? Me. Who made me? God. Who made God? This is a wrong question." And it was basically, it was transparently what the same problem, there was no special pleading, he just said, wrong question, try again. But it's really the summation of every argument I've ever heard about who created God.
And I don't really think he made that ball.
It wasn't round, it was like made on a masking tape. I fully believe that he made that ball.
But again, when you start with calling something a creation, you're already skewing your answer. It's the same way when people talk about evolution. Oh, this didn't happen by mistake.
Yeah.
Mistake right there implies that there's an intent that missed.
Right.
And when you immediately start putting words like that in there, you're biasing the question you ask. It's the same thing like, who created the universe? Why limit it to who?
Yeah.
Why call it a creation? Why limit it to something that had an intent? Why not just say, how did this come to be? And then start asking questions.
The universe is bigger and more open and more complex than we really have words or psychology to confront. And to just sort of say, well, clearly because everything I've made, I made it, and then just to throw that up in the air, really ignores all of the science we've been doing in the last 200 years.
And to go into those, another one of those creationist arguments that they always say by design, they always talk about the watchmaker who finds a watch on the beach. Why did he pick up the watch? Why not just the stick over there? If that's just as designed as the watch, then they should have been indistinguishable.
My complaint with that one is if you've never ever seen a watch before, you're walking along, you just see this odd object on the ground. You don't know, have a clue of what it is.
Right.
It's another odd thing on the ground.
Pretty much.
You didn't have anything to reference it to.
Yeah, it asks a lot of questions about psychology and semiology and you know, meaning and stuff like that. If you don't know if it's a watch, how does it make any sense? So anything else for us, Charles? Or
A comment I heard about North Korea.
Okay.
And this is pre-Hitchens...
Pre-Hitchens.
Necropathy.
Oh, necrocracy. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. The North Korean founder,
Kim Il-sung,
whatever he was, is as exalted as much as any of the ancient Egyptian pho-was.
Yeah, exactly true.
And I mean, he's still considered the eternal president looking down from heaven.
He is still...
If it's an atheist state with nothing but atheists, why is he looking down from heaven?
Exactly. All right, you have a good day there, Charles.
You too.
Bye. And North Korea, their president is in heaven looking at them.
This is basically an irrationalist sort of supernatural ideology where this guy's equated with God.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's the argument that a lot of religious believers like to throw at us, that, oh, you're just saying you should worship people, and then on the other hand, they start saying, oh, you just believe people are trash. Well, which one is it?
Yeah. I love the, well, you know, you just want to worship people. This isn't like the captain in the mirror-mirror universe of Star Trek. It's not like you kill the captain and everybody gets a promotion. My point is the ladder doesn't go that high. It's not that God is gone from that portion of the hierarchy and that hierarchy needs to be filled by something. That hierarchy doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That it doesn't knock us up to... worship people? Have you seen people?
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, I am a people.
No worship me. Jeez. So, speaking of irrational ideology, We haven't done this segment in a while.
Oh, yes. Is this everyone's favorite segment?
Scripture says
what?
Yeah, okay. So today's scripture comes to us from the Book of Mormon, from Ether, chapter 15, parts 30 to 31. Whatever. And it goes like this. And it came to pass that when Coriantumr had leaned upon his sword, that he rested a little, and he smote off the head of Shiz. And it came to pass that after he had smitten off the head of Shiz, that Shiz raised up his hands and fell. And after that he had struggled for breath, he died.
I like that he can keep struggling for breath after he's lost his head.
Well, I suppose any trauma that you receive that prevents you from breathing, like lack of lungs, in water, in space, in the sun, there's probably going to be some, especially in the case of decapitation, a very brief struggle for death.
it seems kind of like the decapitation was not the cause of death. The decapitation just incited the respiratory problem, and that was actually the thing that killed him.
Yeah, it's like he was eating a sandwich, and I decapitated him, and then he choked on a sandwich.
Yeah, I had a hard time breathing because my head wasn't there.
It's a bit of a weird one.
He raised his hands up after his head was smoten off.
Yeah. Did it?
Yeah, it says he raised up his after he raised up his hands and fell after he had smitten off the head of Shiz.
This encompasses two things that I noticed about reading the Book of Mormon. One, every paragraph begins with "and it came to pass," and some of the awesome names that these guys have, like Coriantumr. I use Coriantumr on my lamb chops, I believe, and then Shiz.
Shiz. These are kind of like names that taken out of somebody's LARP.
Yeah, or Shiz sounds like an off-brand of that cheese in a can.
Yeah, it's actually pronounced cheese.
Cheese. I'm going to put some cheese on my Ritz crackers. So if you, this comes to us from a listener in Denmark. Thank you, listener in Denmark. And if you have a piece of scripture that you would like to share with us because it's funny or weird and might spawn an interesting conversation, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the shiny red button at the top of the page, and let us know what you find. As usual, non-biblical scriptures tend to get priority, and I think I might even say non-Mormon scriptures are going to get priority, because we've been doing a lot of the Book of Mormon. For example, we've done the one about racism already. I mean, maybe we can revisit it on a best-of show, but we're kind of done. We did that one.
So. Yeah, people have sent that one to us about 5 or 6 times now.
Yeah. So, let's find some cool stuff, guys. And thank you. And we get a lot of feedback from the... For Scripture Says What. People like this one. So
it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of really weird stuff out there. I guess I kind of look at it that people tend to look at these books as a source of just inerrant wisdom, but when you look at it, it's like a Sam Peckinpah movie.
It is a bit weird. I'd go more Russ Mayer than Sam Peckinpah for a lot of it. Well, depending on the book, I guess.
A little Tarantino thrown in, maybe.
Maybe.
A little John Waters.
I think John Waters might be the best one. So I do want to throw another shout-out out there. Yesterday, I hung out with the Seattle Atheists up in the Lake City area for their Atheist Christmas event, which you might have heard the advertisement about. And that was put together by Jerry and Erica. Erica, who's doing a lot of great stuff with Seattle Atheists, and Jerry, who's in the other room right now. I had a great time, and if you didn't go, you really missed out. It was a lot of food. It was a lot of interesting conversation. Met a lot of people who I'd never, who I hadn't seen in the Seattle Atheist community before. So, thanks a bunch, guys. I had a great time. So, why don't we dive into some emails?
Let's.
All right. Our first email comes to us from Charles from Florida.
Hey, that's a familiar name.
Yeah.
I believe we've gotten some emails from him in the past.
Yeah. And his email goes like this. Depending on the numbers you believe, 70 to 75% of Americans are Christians. Thus far, in conversations with about 200 of them or so, 100% of them will jump to the defense of mass infanticide in Noah's flood and the 10th plague in order to preserve their faith. Let's just say that I'm unlucky, and only 50% of the Christians will do this. At minimum, that leaves one-third of the entire population around you willing to defend mass infanticide at the drop of a Genesis story. My question is merely this. How do you live normal, sane lives, knowing that there are a frightening number of people around you who approve of this mass infanticide, so long as they could be convinced that their magic fairy in the sky wants it to happen?
Well, I think, honestly, we just do the best that we can.
Yeah.
We were talking about North Korea and why we think it's sort of funny, and that discussion we had about Mr. Deity.
Yeah.
Is that there is sort of a black comedy element to it.
Right.
That sometimes we laugh at it because it's the thing that stops us from crying.
I would go you one further and say that normal and sane are sort of mutually exclusive in this day and age. Is that there is some level of because of stuff like this, the kind of stuff that he's talking about. Most people around us are going to defend mass infanticide as long as it happened a long time ago and God said it was okay.
Yeah, we had a congressman a couple years ago who was in a committee hearing and said that he didn't believe in global warming because the Bible had promised, through a rainbow, I might add, that God would never drown the earth again. This guy was not laughed out of the building. And the fact that he's probably been reelected since that speech says that there's a lot of people out there that have no problem with it. And yeah, that scares me.
So, Becky, how about the non-Christian view of mass infanticide in your Bible, even, I believe?
Ah, he's putting me on the spot. I just breezed in here to the studio. Thanks for having me today. There are Jews that do believe that the Bible is the literal word of God, and that the mass infanticide happened because, or it was justifiable because the these were not, you know, the true well-behaved humans. These were the progeny of the humans that had basically been misbehaving because people had started macking it with the angels, and they, you know, grew. You know, rebellious, basically.
Oh, rebellious babies! Oh, that's a punk name.
The whole generation, you know, at the time.
Rebellious babies.
Yes, rebellious because babies.
Because the whole generation is babies. Rebellious babies.
But some of this stuff was pretty Nuremberg. I mean, they were told to do some of this stuff by, you know, the big man upstairs.
Right.
Well, no, not necessarily the big man upstairs. It's by the B'nai Elim, which are the sons of God or the children of God.
Spokespeople for the big man upstairs.
Yes, spokespeople for the big man upstairs. I'm not really quite sure. I mean, this is a part of the Bible that that at this point they're not really monotheistic. They're the Hebrews at this point are acknowledging that there is Yahweh the God, but then there's also other little, you know, rebellious angel dudes and other gods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
This is kind of like that old PC game, Black and White, where you play a deity and you get into fights with other deities.
That's true, yeah.
And when I say macking it with the angels, I mean, really, like...
No, we're there, yeah.
Humans, look it up, humans have started procreating
We started infanticide. Macking it with the angels is not really that far away.
Of all the time to not have public domain porn music.
Oh, jeez, fair point.
On a pipe organ, much
less. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing, is that they've been... They've been told to believe that these angels are speaking with the voice of God, and suddenly they're not. It sounds like Yahweh might be setting them up to fall.
Oh, like he's never done that before.
Exactly.
I mean, whole garden thing, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we get... That's what I mean by normal, is that this is the kind of stuff people believe, and when you have that in your society, can you really... And you have that as the dominant idea in your society, can you really call your society sane?
I don't think you can. I mean, we do live in a world where saying crazy things can really push you up the political ladder.
Yeah. I think people just really like to hang on to their cognitive dissonance.
Anyway... I don't know. I think they're crazy. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Speaking of crazy, Merry Christmas. When we get back, we'll catch up with Becky, who I have not seen in a week, and we'll answer some more emails, take some more calls.
If you enjoy the programming we create here on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship helps keep our show on the air and improve the quality of our broadcasts. Donors get access to exclusive Ask an Atheist content. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Or rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's best source of atheist videos. Visit atheismtv.com.
Billy, I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it will explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy.
Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
Did you know that not a single psychic or paranormal event has ever been reproduced?
Have you ever wondered about the effectiveness of faith healing, Reiki, or sports bracelets?
Was 9/11 an inside job, or is that all just another unproven conspiracy theory?
Come check out the Seattle Skeptics, a group focused on lively debates and a critical examination of pseudoscience, alternative medicine, and anything else that hasn't held up to the light of the scientific method.
Seattle Skeptics was created for those who require a higher bar of evidence than gut feelings or blind belief.
We're not contrarians or cynics, we just want to see the evidence.
And so should you.
Check us out at seattleskeptics.org.
That's seattleskeptics.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And back with me is Mike and Becky, just off the plane from New Mexico, where you were actually trapped for a while.
I was. New Mexican cities became virtual islands as all interstates shut down with that snowstorm that hit Colorado. It also hit New Mexico.
Nice. So you were telling us during the break about an interesting experience you had.
Oh, yeah. It was, first of all, strange flying on Christmas Day, and more crowded than one would think. But, yeah, there was a gentleman sitting in front of me on the plane, and he was wearing a Santa hat and then a kind of varsity-type jacket, and where the name usually appears on the back of the jacket, had the words Secular Franciscan. I just had never seen something like that and thought it was kind of neat.
Like a monk?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, did you ask him or did you?
I did not. It was 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, never stopped me.
I I'd have to ask
him. Ex-Franciscan? Maybe it's a sports team.
I don't know. Maybe he's a San Franciscan, but he doesn't consider himself particularly sanct. So he's not particularly holy. I don't know. Maybe he's a cultural Catholic.
That secular. That makes a little.
That makes more sense. I see that you're replacing the word saint.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're that guy, 253-584-1480, let us know.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. We got another email here. This is from Edward from Murray, Kentucky. I'm going to say this one's aimed at you, Sam.
I think so.
The comment regarding people as calling people atheist as over the top is plain retarded. Do you think that the same nonsense, by the way, Edward, that's not a hyphenated word, when people are called white or college educated, it's a fact. I thought being offended by facts was limited to the religious. I'm disappointed.
Where do I start? All right, first things first. Thanks for not actually listening to me and just deciding I felt a different way. I certainly love that. Second thing, I don't believe I said over the top. I said a bridge too far, which is a little bit different and has slightly different etymological ideas.
What is the context of this calling people atheists?
This was, I believe, was it last week where we were talking about the Seattle Atheist advertising campaign? And we were getting ready to actually kind of rake Seattle Atheists over the coals a little bit because we couldn't find corroboration for their numbers in the studies that they cite. Now, Becky here did a really great job of going over those numbers with a fine-tooth comb, and an hour before we were going to go on the air, Becky's like, no, we have corroboration. It is 25% here in Washington. And I was getting a little unenthused. I was specifically looking at the numbers for Washington. But a lot of the criticism that Seattle Atheist was receiving was because they were going, well, the number is 15%. Everybody knows the number is 15%. Yeah, 15% nationally, but the name of the ad campaign is 1 in 4 Washington. It's about Washington State. It's a local ad campaign. Now, what I said is one of the problems that some people had with it is that it calls 1 in 4 an atheist. And I said that might be a bridge too far. That might be stretching it. And here's why. And I said this back then. I believe that people have the right to name themselves. If they want to be called an atheist, they can be called an atheist. If they want to be called an agnostic, they can be called an agnostic. If they just want to say they're good without God, they can say they're good without God. If they just want to say they're irreligious, they can call themselves irreligious. And if we're gonna respect these people, we should let them have the titles that they keep for themselves. Now, and I also refer to this in when we talked about it the first time, in the larger context of atheism as a topic, we believe that every one of these people who uses the term irreligious, good without God, agnostic, is an atheist. This is a conversation we have been having since episode one of the show. They are atheists. I'm not shying away from it. I'm not exactly certain where the offense came in, but I'm not certain who you were listening to, but it wasn't me.
Yeah, I think that it's a question of a campaign possibly being counterproductive.
Yes.
And yes, I think that if they're asked if they believe in a God and if they give an answer other than yes, they're an atheist. They do not have that belief in God. That's what the A means. However, when you're doing it as an ad campaign and you're trying to reach out to people, tactics and facts are sometimes a little bit different. That you're honest, of course,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to be honest in a way that you can make your point in the most effective way possible.
Yeah.
What? And there is still a stigma about that word.
There is.
One of the things I might say, Edward, is, you know, yes, do I think that it's the same nonsense as calling people white or college educated? It might be a fact. The three people sitting in this studio right now would demographically, on the census, be marked as white. But that leaves out so many shades of who we are and what our identity is, how we're defined by others around us, and how we define ourselves. And so facts really do leave a lot to be desired, and I think that's where some people can, can find that offense, that, hey, you know what, you're reducing me to some sort of essential quality that reduces who I am.
Yeah. And I just, the thing that really kind of gets me frosty about this one is the idea that I was somehow offended by the fact that they're atheists, even though I'm openly acknowledging the fact that they're atheists. I'm just, you know, if you want something to be accepted, you have to speak to a wide audience. This is marketing. And if you don't believe that the facts need to be marketed, you're not living in the same place I'm living at, is all I can say, is that there's a reason why we have this show. There's a reason why we present ourselves in the way that we do. And that's because we're trying to show people what we're like in a friendly way.
And I think that the numbers, honestly, I don't think we're going to get any really truly accurate numbers on how many people out of 100 are an atheist until that stigma completely goes away. And I don't think that's going to happen in our lifetime, because a lot of times people run away from, oh, I don't believe in a God, but
yeah,
I'm certainly not an atheist.
And that's exactly it. The other thing is atheists, I've only heard it a few years ago, I only heard it applied to programmers. But the whole, trying to get atheists in a group is like herding cats. And atheists, as a group, I've discovered, really like facts and really like to debate. There's a difference between a debate and an argument. A lot of atheists like to debate, and we always have these little disagreements, and people like to have different names. I'm not an atheist, I'm a bright. I'm not an atheist, I'm a free thinker. I'm not an atheist,
I'm a non-theist.
I'm a non-theist, or I'm an anti-theist. I think people should have the right to label themselves. And in order to sort of respect that, we need to just describe what it is rather than just assume a label. And I think, what I came up with is, I said, I think 1 in 4 is good without God would have been a much better accepted term. How is
I don't know that all of those people are good, though. They may be without God, but...
Well, I think you're thinking good in a different way than I
mean, even among the number of people that we personally know, I'm sure we could pick out a couple that aren't good without God.
Yeah. And you're different definitions of the word good, which is part of my point. Definitions change for people. Mm-hmm. We have a lingua franca. We're all speaking English, but we have different ideas of what different words mean.
Yeah, that yes, 1 in 4 are atheists, but is it I don't know. I think that if there's anything, our job on this show is to take a sting off of that word.
Yeah.
And to make it so people aren't afraid to use it. And I think that when we see growing numbers of atheists, I really don't know if that's more people that are giving up belief or if that's more and more people that aren't afraid to admit that they don't believe.
Yeah.
There's really no way to tell.
Let's see. Why don't we move on? Oh, here's another one for me. And I'll answer this one. Nick from the UK, a quick question. Why all the puffins on the site?
Why indeed, Sam?
I answered this one. Once upon a time, nobody knew that puffins were my favorite animal. Now it's the thing I think everybody knows about me. Okay, so penguins are pretty awesome. Penguins, they swim, they eat fish, they swim underwater like they're flying.
They get cute movies made
about
them.
They get cute movies. The thing is, puffins do everything that penguins do and fly. Puffins are awesome.
Yeah, take that, Morgan Freeman.
Happy feet and happy wings.
Yeah, so I kind of like puffins. I think they're cute. I think they're very interesting. I think they're psychologically, well, as much as you can say psychologically, for because they're waterfowl, so they're crazy. They're insane birds. It's pretty awesome. So I like puffins, and so when I need like a filler graphic or something like that, I go with puffins.
They make a good mascot too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that puffins believe in God.
I don't think puffins can believe in God.
All right. I'm going to drop something on you guys. It's Christmas, and I've been holding it back the whole holiday season. And I'm an atheist, and I'm on an atheist TV show, and I get to say this. I don't like Christmas.
Really? Why not, Sam?
I actually have my own little war on Christmas that I'd like to discuss.
But real quick, before you launch into what will be an awesome tirade,
yeah.
Is it the season that you don't like, or the specific day and holiday?
Or the music?
I actually like the idea, the sort of the secular thing that Christmas has become. Is the getting together for food is nice. Getting together for you know, friendship and exchange, you know, receiving gifts is nice. Giving gifts is nice. The whole idea of Christmas doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is it's the pressure people get put under to make sure that the holidays are perfect. You know what I mean? Is everybody is working so hard to make sure the kids get all the right gifts, that they do all the shopping, that all the food is in the right place and it's prepared perfectly and the parties go perfectly and everybody drinks just enough not to get arrested and, you know, and stuff like that. And there's just so much pressure to make the holidays perfect every year that I think people go a little spare. And I'm like, why are we putting ourselves under that pressure?
Well, you can just choose not to, I guess.
That's actually what I kind of did this year is I took it easy.
I mean, I've gotten my family down to largely a manageable size for who I buy gifts for. I have just two people. My mother and my sister are the only people that I buy presents for.
Yeah, yeah.
And aside from that, I shop, buy two things. I'm done for the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, I work in retail, so I'm not a big fan of the season, but I like the day.
Mm-hmm.
I like knowing that there's a day during the year that everyone's going to have off from work all at once.
That is nice. Like I said, it's not the idea of Christmas that I have a problem. Well, okay, the religious thing I don't care for, but the secular idea of Christmas I don't have a problem with. I actually like it a lot, except for the Chipmunks Christmas album.
I will
cut your mic.
By the way, Becky's voice was not changed by the computer on that.
No. I had to hear it every day for 20 years during the holiday season.
That was your time in a North Korean prison?
That was my time in a North Korean prison. So, you know, I didn't care for that. But the actual Christmas, the food, the gifts, the getting together with family, I love all of that. It's just that the pressure was shows on people, and people go a little spare, and divorces are up during Christmas and stuff like that. My holiday has always been Thanksgiving, because it's all of the family getting together, all of, you know, not the gifts, but it's family getting together, it's a lot of food, it's a lot of fun, without any of the pressure of Christmas.
I think it's, the way I would separate it, I know that I like Christmas as a day. I like the idea of it. I hate the season around it.
Yeah.
I hate that it starts really right after Halloween these days.
I know.
And that you can go into a retail establishment and see both a black and orange table right next to a red and green table.
And that all that does is amp up the pressure, I think. If we just limited Christmas to like and Christmas preparation to like the last 2 weeks of December, I think we'd be a lot better off.
I really think that if I just wasn't working in retail, I could love it unashamedly again. Mm. And I love Christmas. I mean, it isn't the religious thing. And I think that really everybody, not just atheists, but everybody, including most Christians, celebrate a largely secular holiday.
You know, growing up Jewish, we got to enjoy all that stuff, going to friends and families and helping my neighbor trim her tree and everything. Mm. None of the pressure.
See?
That's not what I've heard.
The solution is to be a Jew.
It was 12 days of pressure is what I heard.
Well, 8.
Right, Hanukkah. 8, 12, whatever. I don't get your crazy numerology. Anyway, we got a phone call, but we're coming right up against the hour. Hey, Manolo, how you doing?
Our friend in Kentucky, Manolo, from Podcast Ateorizar, what do you got for us?
Well, nothing. First of all, I just want to say Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad a ti también.
But also, I was going to talk to you about something interesting that happened to me. I had to go to Puerto Rico recently to visit my family for a funeral. And I was talking to my aunt, and my aunt was claiming that everybody has morals. And I said, well, if everybody has morals, according to what you think, then what do we need God for? Well, she says, well, you know, God puts that on you, and you know. And I said, well, really don't, because if you're raised stealing and killing people, and you think that's what's normal, you won't know that that's not a good thing. But anyway, I was arguing with my aunt, you know, back and forth, and my sister is an evangelical Christian, and she was listening to the conversation. And then we, you know, started with the Bible, and I started...
Manolo, we're running up right up against the hour, so if you could sum up.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're talking about the genocide, and my sister is backing me up on the genocide on the Bible, and I said, my goodness, you know, I can't believe that my sister is, you know, backing me up on this. And just something totally unexpected, because she said that God in the Old Testament was an a-hole.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't believe it.
Well, that's the kind of interesting family interactions that happened at any of those times, and certainly during the holidays. So I hope that was resolved, and maybe you put a little earworm in there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Planted a little seed in their family.
Manolo, we love talking to you. Give us a call a little earlier in the hour, and we'll have a longer conversation. So
No problem. I just got to work. That's why I call this late.
No problem. All right, thanks. So, wow, that's what we got, I think.
Yeah.
We got some Merry Christmas and Feliz Navidad and Happy New Year.
I declared my war on Christmas, or at least on Christmas stress, and it's all over now, so kick back and take it easy.
And some Chag Sameach for our Happy Hanukkah observers.
Yeah,
so, Happy Wookiee Life Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Joyous Festivus.
This was Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam. With me was Mike and Becky.
Hey.
Our call screener was Jerry. Scott actually drove Becky down.
Was our transit support.
Yeah, emergency transportation. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. You can see us at askanatheist.tv. Our phone number is 206-420-0097. There's no post show. We'll see you guys next week.
KLAY Lakewood Tacoma. Area with more.